We're in Cronin's Pub. And did you say you got your kids to watch Laurel and Hardy?
No, Pete was thinking about going that direction, but what he reminded me of is that we had a summer or two where when the kids were younger, and in Arizona you have to stay in, it's too hot to go outside, so when we weren't at the movies or we weren't at the swimming pool or we weren't at the library, which was the places you go with the kids during the long summer, we would have stay-at-home movie times, and
we're okay. Thank you very much. Thanks a million. Yeah.
And so we had for my monitoring of their TV watching, we said, okay, we're going to have black and white TV movies, and so we did everything from Casablanca to some like a pot.
How did your kids take to black and white?
Loved it. It was yes. You have to kind of set it up, but yes, they were fine with it. I don't remember any protests.
What age were they when they first saw Casablanca?
I don't know.
Well, there was a range of them.
It was. It would have been home of the summertime, so probably 11, 12.
And did you love
like
this?
That. Loved it. Absolutely. Ooh,
so
loved
go on.
It.
Yeah. Casablanca. What else?
Yeah. The one I remember most was Some Like It Hot, and that's what got us talking about. It was funny movies. That I said to Pete, you have to have your kids watch Some Like It Hot. It has the best closing line of a movie outside of Frankie, My Dear, I Don't Give a Damn. And it's well, nobody's perfect.
Is that the last line?
Yes. Well, nobody's perfect. Yeah.
I have this all ahead of me. Grace has never watched a black and white film, I suspect, in her entire life.
No, you absolutely. They're just wonderful. Yeah. And I'm sure we did Citizen Kane.
But they're the real
classics. Right. The birds. Yes. The psycho birds. Oh, we might have done Psycho.
Did you not do Charlie Chaplin?
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is I was not much of a Charlie Chaplin aficionado myself. That was my
problem.
Were
you Laurel and Hardy?
No, tampoco. No.
I love Laurel and Hardy.
I know.
Oh, will you give us 5 minutes? Thanks a million.
Do we have to
pick between French onion soup and Cronin's fish soup? You see, chicken liver pate, beef salad, whatever that is. Farmhouse cheddar salad, smoke, and hey, they do curry as well, I can tell you that for sure. Fish and chips.
French onion soup. Oh, David is speeding. Oh, is it? Oh,
TV dinner tonight, did you say?
Okay.
David is speeding, but we have a slice of cake.
Fresh mussels and chips.
Okay.
Red Thai chicken curry, garlic mussels with soda bread. Okay. Go on anyway, tell me more about these films. I want to see, what else did
now
you
my
like?
Memory is sparse on it.
So your favorite black and white film of all time?
Oh, Casablanca.
Your favorite black and white film of all time?
Yeah. This is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
I'm great at asking the questions. I'm absolutely awful if you ask me what my favorite line is.
Play it against that. Yeah.
But he doesn't say play it again.
Oh, no.
He doesn't. No, no,
wait.
I've read, yeah.
Play it, Sam. That's it. I knew it was
How many
off.
Times
yeah.
have you watched Casablanca? Yeah. Approximately.
I probably only watched it maybe 6 times max. Yeah.
Helga hasn't seen it yet.
Really?
Yeah. She doesn't go for black and white movies.
What's the black and white movie that won an Oscar? What's the black and white movie that recently won an Oscar?
That's another one that I... An Affair to Remember. It's not black and white, but it's an old Cary Grant movie. I tell you where An Affair to Remember became popular was with the movie Sleepless in Seattle.
Oh, I love that film.
I love that film.
I'm in love with Meg Ryan.
Tom Hanks is my guy.
Okay.
But in that movie, they periodically, the movie An Affair to Remember comes up, and all of the women are sitting there and they're in floods of tears. I love this movie. And the men then make jokes about the women and that. And in a way, it's kind of a parallel to An Affair to Remember because, you know, they're supposed to meet in New York in the Empire State Building.
Is that the one where one is waiting for the other on top of the building and never shows up?
Well, it's because he didn't appear to remember. She's so excited, she's looking up and she doesn't see the taxis coming and it mows her down and she's paralyzed. And so she doesn't
leave. Oh, yes, therefore she will not allow him.
She won't allow him to visit.
I remember it now, it's coming back.
And then he sees her accidentally at the movies one night. And he thinks, or at the play or something like that. And then he sees her and he doesn't know that she's in a wheelchair because she stays in the theater until after he's left. And then her companion brings in the wheelchair. And that's when we realize that she's paralyzed. And then he tracks her down and comes to visit her in the apartment, and there's that moment where he's about to leave and say goodbye because she's not given him any leeway and not told him what's going on, and he's about to leave, and she has the shawl on that he has brought for her that his aunt had in Europe, and she's wearing the shawl, and he said, "Funny, I painted you that way once," and she's says, "Did you?" And he said, "Yes." And it was a beautiful painting. I really didn't want to sell it. But the art gallery owner said, "No, the woman who wants to buy it is really, you know, she really, really wants it. And besides, she was in a..." And then he stops. He cuts himself off. You know he's going to say wheelchair. He turns around, he looks left, right, he goes across past the sofa, he goes barging into her bedroom, and you see the silhouette of the wheelchair hidden away.
Tears.
And of course you see her photograph right there, her painting right there. And that's when he turns around and she says, "I couldn't tell you, darling."
And she's sort of in tears at the moment.
Oh, it's a great movie.
I've seen it.
They meet on a ship, you see. They meet on a ship in the beginning. And they
Film that is actually different from that, but it's set on the top of the Eiffel Tower. Somebody is meant to meet somebody on the Eiffel Tower, or am I totally confused?
Oh, the Eiffel Tower.
The Eiffel Tower.
That I don't know.
So, what is my favourite black and white movie? The trouble is I can't remember. I'm just awful. I can't remember. At this moment in time, I would be saying, "Oh God, I can't remember." I could, of course, say things that I know I meant to say.
Yeah.
Like, "Oh, I'm sure I loved Citizen Kane," but actually, no, I know I loved Casablanca, but I don't want to say that just because I think that that mightn't be.
They say Citizen Kane is one of the best movies ever made. I took a long time coming to enjoy it. I didn't get it in the beginning.
The opening scene of Citizen Kane is something like 3 minutes long in one take. I think it pans across. Is it in Mexican town? It starts out. Orson Welles is a great and it was in mm-hmm. 3 minutes of panning to a, which I find fascinating. It's setting up something like that.
The confidence that the director must have to hold his nerve.
Yeah.
I mean, that is.
At that
so,
time.
Have none of us seen The Great Dictator?
No, I no. Oh, that's
I've
the
never
Charlie
seen
Chaplin
the
one,
great,
right?
Great Chaplin films. No, I haven't.
I've only seen the rest of
the selected black and white movies for the kids. I thought, well, I better start on time because if I put on something, and if they don't buy it, then it's like, no, not that one. So I googled what the best Charlie Chaplin, the best Laurel and Hardy, the best Lloyd George, Harold Lloyd movies were. And there was a little bit debate about what the best Charlie Chaplin was, but City Lights got the number one.
Oh, yeah.
At least on one side.
Really?
Yeah. And it's lovely. You know, I mean, it's about, I mean, Charlie is the tramp. Great bit of sort of slapstick starting out in the movie, so it sets the scene. The kids kind of got that easily enough. They found it on, you know, why is it talking? And then Fee's reading is going on very well now in the last few months, but you know, she wouldn't be as fast at reading as the other.
This might help Grace's reading.
Yeah, it would.
So
yeah.
It just flashes up a simple thing like, how do you do, or something.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it is mind, really. You know, because there isn't a word spoken in it. Now, Laurel Hardy speaks, but Charlie Chaplin doesn't. He's wandering around the town, and there's a blind flower seller, a lovely young girl, who's selling flowers.
Oh, I know this scene. I know
he sees him, and he sort of stops up, and she's like this, and she picks the button hole in. He gives her like all the money, and then some car has pulled up near them, and then some wealthy guy he says, well, I must be going, but then some wealthy guy hops into the car and drives off, so she follows the car kind of up, and he's watching her, and she's so she thinks that he's very wealthy. He as it happens then later on the day, he's down by the riverside, this drunk guy in a tuxedo is putting a noose around his neck and at the other end of a stone throwing to the river, and he, you know, he's obviously and Charlie
saves him, yeah.
Talks him out of it, and so he befriends Charlie and takes him back, and you know, tells Charlie, you'll take my car the next day. So Charlie goes off and drives him down to the car. Anyway, the point I'm going to be is that he goes on, and it's a roller coaster for Charlie, because this guy, this very wealthy guy, when he gets drunk, he's Charlie's best friend, and he sobers up, he gets his tramp away from me, kind of thing. So, and then, so Charlie at one point gets $1,000 from this man, and there's some miracle cure for the type of blindness that she has. He calls around to her house, and she's obviously in love with him and him and her, and he gives her the money. There's a mix-up. He gets the money from this man, this millionaire, who then gets a bang on the head and thinks that Charlie's robbed him. And so Charlie runs off, basically gets to his girlfriend, gives her the money to get the operation at her site and to pay the rent, which is supposed to be the best. And he says, I'm going to be in the first, you know, a long time now. And so he gets thrown in jail, and then he comes out and...
This is very Thomas Hardy, isn't it?
Is it?
Well, the story. I mean, the kind of way the Thomas Hardy stories go. I mean, this one you're just accounting for. You know, because there's this...
storing things up for the future.
Yeah, there's all loads and loads of that. And things go in a certain direction. They reach a certain episode. There's a completed episode, you think, and then their episodes are all connected. And you're torn apart emotionally by what's happening during it.
Well, yeah. This is sort of bittersweet throughout, because you see, Charlie's in love with her. He thinks, well, I've nothing to offer her. She obviously is, you know, blind. She's imagining him as a wealthy man. He's got himself into that situation and allowed this to happen. Then when he gets out of jail, he finds himself outside her. Now she's got a flower shop doing very well. Some kids sort of play a trick on Charlie, and people are laughing at him, and she's sort of laughing at him, but in a kindly way. And he kind of looks in the window and he sees her, and then she says to the lady, well, I think I've got an admirer or something like that. And she holds up a flower for him to take, and he's kind of shining. She holds up a flower and a coin for him to take. And she's saying, come on in. So,
don't spoil the ending.
Okay.
Oh. Right? Yeah, don't, yeah. I have to be motivated to see, because I feel uneducated. I really do. I saw the kind of what I would call the this is unfair, but the trivial Charlie Chaplin ones, the slapstick ones, where he fell over backwards and everything, and it was all purely that, but it was all purely that.
His movements are fantastic. You know, the choreography is really very, very clever. You know, it seems to be very smooth. Now, the old movies, like, from that age, we're talking 1920s, 1930s, I think City Lights was 1926. You know, the speed of it, they're slightly faster.
Yeah.
Tell me, do they actually have to practice those 100 times and then do a take? Or it was Chaplin a genius that just managed their films?
No, no,
you think it's all practice?
A lot of choreography in that, for example.
You know who know all that stuff is Christopher.
Who?
He has his degree in film.
Your son Christopher would actually know?
Yeah.
Can we have him?
He's in Africa, but sure.
Can you call him up on Skype? Where's he in?
Cameroon.
Cameroon, right. Call him in. Can we get Christopher in here from Cameroon?
I was kind of hoping he'd go into the movie.
Yes, so were we all. You know, we have another cousin in Canada who's in the movie. Richard.
Yeah. Richard and Louise. Yeah.
Richard, yeah. Richard. Is Louise in the movies too?
Did you hear about Richard's wife?
Yeah.
Following that.
Alive and finding when to the movie.
Right. Well, that's a toughie. God, we'll turn this down now. Well, actually, the thing is, this will never get found by anybody. There are so many, aren't there?